Episode 19.
This is that special St. Patrick's Day edition. Hence the Scally cap. I'm going to... Fun. Do you want to put this on?
Yeah, I will. I should see.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I like it. It works.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
You know,
I'll tell you what I'd do.
It's just a real nigga shit. You real nigga.
Two chicks at the same time, man.
Just be yourself, so rich.
Tonight we have an impromptu guest last second. One of Kyle's places, my sober home's newest addition.
Nick Matthews.
Nick Speedbag Matthews.
Yeah, thank you.
We just know him as Speedbag. He's been there. How long you been in now? Just a week? Not even?
Yeah, about a week.
And he's already made it on the podcast.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's doing good, Bundy. Vouch for him. Most people Bundy vouches for, like the one we just went throughout.
Yeah, he didn't last that long.
He got stabbed in the chest and med flighted to Boston. Then we actually took him back after he almost got killed. And then he didn't last. But so far, so good with Speedbag. The first thing I asked Bundy was, how did he get the nickname Speedbag? To which he had no idea. I said, me personally, that would have been the first thing I asked Mr. Speedbag when I met him, because I'm thinking, you know, he's a boxer of some sort. But now, ironically enough, I know the person who gave him the nickname. We just mentioned him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when Bobby Martini was on. Well, I've been slacking. It's been like a month now. I got to get on top of this. Justin Halloran. So why don't you tell us, Speedbag.
Hey, thanks.
Speaking of the mic.
Thanks, Halloran.
Yeah, let's hear how you got the nickname Speedbag.
Oh, man. I don't know if I should tell that story. Can I?
Sure.
Doesn't matter? Yeah. All right. I met Justin at the same time around I met Bundy. I was 17. I got 2 years in Bill Rickhouse correction. It was a hot summer, hot. There's no AC back there. And the cells are this big. As you can tell, I'm not that skinny. And so I was comfortable in my cell. And Halloran came by and he goes, look at you. Because I was sitting by. I had no sheets yet, nothing. I was just like this. And he goes, look at you. He goes, Speedbag just flapping in the fucking breeze. And I looked at him, right? And I started cracking up. And it was the funniest thing I've ever heard. And since that day.
So your ball bag was hanging out of your shorts.
We could call it that. Yeah, we could say
that's how he got the nickname Speedbag.
It fucking stuck.
And here's the thing about nicknames in the streets and jail anywhere. Once you got one, I lie all the time. So after the gig's up now everyone goes, the gig's out. I'm not a boxer. Yeah. So I tell them, oh yeah, it's fighting. But the gig's up. Thanks, Halloran. So yeah, so that was like what, 2009. Since then, I've been Speedbagging the streets and jail. Yeah. Fucking speedy too, because I go too fast. So
it's kind of good. Not everyone knows your name, like when you're in the street running around, you know what I mean? But I'm sure the cops know who Speedbag is by now. Bundy got his nickname from King Kong Bundy, the wrestler. Bundy used to shave his head bald in prison and in jail, and he bore a strong resemblance to King Kong Bundy.
Oh, that stuck out there. I was like 14.
Really?
Yeah, 14.
Gee, I thought you got that in jail, because when I knew you, it was Babe. When we were kids.
I was in school.
His name was Babe, as in Babe Ruth. He used to hit home runs in Little League, and he was known as Babe. And then I remember I bumped into him in first time I saw him and was in jail was in Bill Ricker. I saw him on the... I think it was up by the second tier. I snuck in a pair of sneakers. I had these nice sneakers. He came over to me and I said, Babe. And he goes, it's not Babe. It's Bundy. Sorry, Babe. So Speedbag is first couple days in. He already made my Instagram because I called up. This is why he's on the show. I called up my house manager and I thought somebody was drinking. I says, hey, go check on this guy. It was some new guy. And sure enough, he was stiff. And some people, when you catch them, that you know, just hey, pack your stuff, you got to go. Some people, I'll say, hey, if you go to detox, I'll give you another chance if I like them. But yeah, this guy was, he was bombed, just as I suspected. And he was giving the house manager somewhat of a hard time, you know, just, I don't know, just talking nonsense, you know, saying, oh, I used to box or I used to wrestle and I don't want this to get ugly. He was real drunk and he's being a pain in the ass. So these guys sent me a video and it was speedbagging the guy's face. And the guy's like, I forget what he said. You know, he's like, don't make me, you know, I don't want to have to do something. And Speedbag immediately got right in his face and said, you ain't going to do nothing. You're just going to flap your fucking gums. Then he come out of nowhere with, I'll give you a fucking wedgie, bitch. I was like, what?
Like, I got that from him. I swear, I'm snitching.
I'll give you a wedgie. And so it was fucking hilarious, you know. We got some good moments in the house, you know what I mean? Speaking of, you know, St. Patrick's Day is a big day for me. A lot of things happened to me on St. Patrick's Day. First and foremost, I got sober on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2013 was the last time I was getting high. And I it was a bad day, and I ended up getting on a plane later that night, flying down to Florida. Mickey Ward picked me up at Fort Lauderdale Airport and walked me into the Florida House experience, a detox. And a program across from the detox is a big program. It's a nice place. You know, I didn't know where the hell I was, but I remember Mickey walking me through the front door, and I was starting to get real sick because I was on the methadone clinic, and he promised me that there was methadone there. And, you know, he sold me this bill of goods, and, you know, he walked me through the front door and he said, Mike, this is the last time you have to do this. And I had been to so many detoxes and so many overdoses, and I had an open case and I was out on bail. And at the time, I just wanted to get off the methadone because they didn't give you meds in jail then. And the detox is horrific. They just cut you off and it's over. And I was just so scared to go in there and kick that methadone. So that was, you know, that was the only reason I went down there, was to get off the methadone and go to jail. And not a big God guy, but someone had bigger plans. God, whoever, had bigger plans for me, because I ended up, you know, getting sober. And this St. Patrick's Day, this Sunday, will be 11 years without any drugs or alcohol. So that's a big day. So many things happened on that day. I beat a bank robbery case on St. Patrick's Day. I got custody of my daughter close to St. Patrick's Day, a few days on and off when she was 6 years old. She's 15 now. I was in Walpole, and on St. Patrick's Day, I come in from the yard, and I had mail, and I'm like, oh, there's mail today? You know, I didn't think there was mail that day, and I got it, and it was a forfeiture notice from Martha Coakley, who was the district attorney of Middlesex County back then, and it was a forfeiture notice of $31,000 that they had seized from me from my drug case. And an old machine gun bank robber, Miles probably knew him good, Richie Cepalonis, he took a look at the paperwork and he said, I'll never forget, he said, you got him by the short hairs, kid. I had never heard the saying. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, they only have whatever it was, you know, 18 months to file this forfeiture notice. He's like, they took this money, you know, 3.5 years ago. He's like, you got them dead to rights. I'm like, nice. What do you mean? And then Mikey DuPont, he's out now. He was a jailhouse lawyer. He found a case, and the case was named Commonwealth versus one Ketch named Snow White. Ketch being spelled K-E-T-C-H, which is a boat, a catch. That was the name of the boat, Snow White. And it was a drug case in the books where it was the same exact type of case as mine, where they filed the forfeiture notice too late. And I gave that case to my lawyer, and he filed the motions. And I ended up wrapping up and getting out. And my lawyer said, hey, we're going to tell them we'll settle for 10 grand. I'll get three. You'll get seven. I just got out. I was broke. So I said, yeah, let's do it. And the DA come back and said, no, we want to go for summary judgment. So the DA cited a case that said a claimant who stands by mutely while time passes cannot later be heard to complain of prejudicial delay. In other words, I wasn't saying, where's my money for 3.5-4 years? I was just silent. Because it was gone in my eyes. Yeah, you know, that was gone. Yeah. I didn't say anything until I got that paper. And so they cited a case that said that, you know, a claimant who stands by mutely. So my lawyer filed the motion. And after a couple of months, I got out. my lawyer called me up. He said, hey, the judge just ruled in your favor. She slammed the Commonwealth. She said, just because this is suspected drug, just because this is drug proceeds doesn't mean that this man isn't afforded every available right as every citizen in the Commonwealth. And I was like, wow. Nice. So it gave me the $31,000 back. That was another St. Patrick's Day miracle. And just last night I come home and my daughter says, Grampy was telling me about the St. Patty's Day when you went away to Florida. And I was like, yeah. And she said, yeah, he came home from the bar early and he heard a thud upstairs. And what happened was I tried to hang myself in my daughter, where my daughter's room is now, in the closet. And it was like a fucking, you know, like a curtain rod, right? In the closet where I hang stuff from. I had a belt around my neck and a thing. And I don't remember much. I was out of it. And the thing broke and I hit the floor like a ton of bricks. And my father come up and found me. And, you know, it's not something I talk about, right? Mm. And my daughter, and I says, oh, yeah, when I tried to hang myself. She goes, what? He didn't say that. Why did you tell me that? I'm like, well, he just said, you know, he fucking heard me, you know, hit the floor and this and that. And she's like, no, he didn't say that part. So I said, well, now you know. And she was sitting there. She's 15 now. And then she says, Mike, you know what? So she has a closet and the door's gone off the closet. And she says, why'd you take the closet door off after, you know, before I moved in? And I said, well, it got in the way of me trying to hang myself. So she just started laughing. She just shook her head.
Which is good.
And that was it. You know, so St. Patrick's Day, you know, a lot of stuff happened on St. Patrick's Day. The parade coming up Sunday. Saturday, we have Peter Welch's. He just started a first annual invitational boxing tournament. He has it on the two Saturdays before St. Patrick's Day. And I went there Saturday. It was great. You know, we're going to try to get this podcast right out tomorrow. If you want to go, call up, get tickets. I think it's $25 for admission. Good crowd, good fights. I went there last week and, you know, they got a big bean shooter flag up in the gym, which is awesome. Pete is the man, and he's going to put it on his float in the parade. So that's really cool. You know, Pete is a real good guy. He's always been good to me, you know. He's a legend in his own right. If people don't know, that's where Dana White started out with Peter, going to Peter's gym. And look where Dana White is now, you know. What else about the parade Sunday? What else Saturday? At Peter Welch's thing, there were some local kids fighting. There were some good ones. Kid Marks fought. He won. Who else? I met the kid on Instagram there. His Instagram is blowing up huge. Davis Clark. You know who this is?
Boxer?
No. He's all over Instagram now. He's like viral now. Everything he puts on is viral. He's a local kid. I think he's from Winchester, but he's all over the place right now on Instagram and just all positive stuff. Like, you know, hard not to like the kid, right? He's just super positive. And someone sent me his first video and I'm in the bathroom. He's standing behind me. I said, oh, I know you. And he's like, oh, bean shooter, and followed each other. And his brother fought the last fight. Fucking big kid. He did real good. He stopped the other kid. I think it was the first round. So that was good meeting him. He's a nice kid. He was super positive, you know. And, you never know who you're going to see there. But that was cool meeting him because you see the kid every day now when you open up Instagram. I don't think he's going to be getting shadow banned anytime soon. Unlike me, I put on a video last week, and they did it to me again. They removed the video, another strike, and I was shadow banned for a week, and they crippled me with this. It really wasn't that bad of a video, I didn't think. I was in a restaurant, and two people smelled really bad, and I said something. And the thing got 7 million views in 19 hours, and they removed it. It was like that thing was going out of control. But everything that I think is funny is offensive
to them.
Is offensive to somebody else. You know, back on the boxing and a few other things. My friend Dennis Wilcox, his son Shay Wilcox, won the Golden Gloves in Lowell a few weeks ago, and then he won the New England's in Lowell last week. And it's a real good story because, you know, he'd been through some stuff. He got in some trouble. He got in a fight where somebody attacked him, and he got him really good, and the person actually – press charges on him. And he gave him a vicious beat, and I think he got him for mayhem. And he was really, it really screwed up, you know. It really, you know, affected obviously Dennis and Shay and everything. I hope I'm not out of line talking about it, but it's just such a good story because he ended up beating the case, and then he got back in the gym and he came back and really, really good story. And you know, we're all wishing him the best in the Nationals. If I can get out to Detroit to see a couple matches, you know, I'm definitely gonna. Another one. On the wrestling front, Chelmsford High School, Thomas Brown, my friend Mike Brown's nephew, Thomas, is undefeated this year as a heavyweight. He's 265. He won the Nationals last year, heavyweight as a sophomore. So he is a fucking problem. And wishing him the best. He's going to the Nationals. I know they just had the New England's in Providence, and he won that. So I'm not sure where the Nationals are this year for wrestling, but we're wishing him the best, you know. And he's got one more year left after this year, and he's, you know, he's got to be the best heavyweight wrestler ever to come out of New England, without a doubt. And the kid's only a fucking junior, you know. So, yeah, that's that. Back to Mr. Bundy.
No.
Mr. Bundy has been back in the gym, eating a lot better, kind of showing me up a little.
Eating real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Losing the weight. I think I lost like 14 pounds.
Yeah. He won't get on the scale because I know, because I can, you know, when someone loses weight, you can just see it. You can see it in their face, right? The first thing, it's like when I used to use drugs, right? And I'd get out of jail and I'd be in great shape. And then I'd start getting high and someone wouldn't see me for a month or 2 months, right? And you and feel like you drop 10, 15 pounds, you lose it right in your face. It's the first thing. Your face gets sunken in and people would see me and be like, whoa, you know. But it's like that with you. And I see you every day and I can see it.
You can see it, huh?
Yeah, and you know, you work out, you can see you're getting bigger up top. So it's such a motivator, right? When people are telling you, you look good, you know, you're losing weight, you know, you're looking good.
That's why I stay away from the scale. I start looking at that scale and it's like half a pound, a pound. It's like, I just stay away from it.
Yeah.
Maybe every 3 weeks, once a month, I'll weigh myself. I know,
I keep asking you and you're like, no, I don't want to get on it. I don't, you know, put you in a bad frame of mind, but I can see it, you know.
Good.
And I'm trying to get back in the gym. You motivate me a little bit, you know. I go in these cycles or I get in these habits where I'm going to the gym every day, crushing it, eating good. And then if I don't go to the gym, I'll go away. If I don't eat, if I don't go to the gym for a week or 2 weeks, then it takes me 2 months to get back in.
Right.
But last time I went away, I got back and I was sick. My stomach bug, I don't know, you know, what it was, right? But I was real sick and everything I was eating was going right through me. And the doctor, like a month ago, put me on some antibiotics and I thought I was starting to feel better. And I went away 2-3 weeks ago to New York City with Dickie Eklund to see some fights. Did I talk about this yet? I didn't talk about this yet.
No.
I haven't been around this. So I went to see some fights, and my guy from the Bronx, Fat Boy Bronx Strong on Instagram, Tommy, got me a nice hotel room right in Midtown Manhattan. He knew someone there, and I parked my truck at the St. Regis. He knows the doorman there. So it was really cool. I was right in Midtown. And we went to the fights, and I woke up at 3 in the morning. And I had pain like I've never had in my life. I mean, I was paralyzed. And I'm trying to get comfortable, and I'm rolling over and this and that. And I've had friends that have had kidney stones. And it's always been like a fear of mine, you know, hearing about pissing these things out. They're like, you know, pissing barbed wire and all this other stuff. So I'm Googling it, you know, and the pain was right where it said. So I actually took an ambulance to emergency room in Manhattan. And sure enough, it was kidney stones. The doctor come out. She goes, I can tell a kidney stone patient a mile away, but I'm going to send you in for a CAT scan. And the pain, they say it's comparable or worse than giving birth. So all you women out there that complain, I'm you know, I know. I mean, it was, I was paralyzed. So they put the IV to get some fluids in me. And I remember saying, hey, I've been drug free for over 10 years, coming up on 11 years. And I don't take nothing. I've had a lot of dental work. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not Superman. I break my leg. Give me something for the pain. But, you know, of course, I'm going to try to avoid it. I don't want any opiates. And I remember saying to the doctor, I says, listen, I don't care what you put in that IV bag right now to make this pain go away. You know, I don't care if it's fucking fentanyl. Just put something in there. And it was only Tylenol and Toradol is what they use. And it actually worked. And the pain went away. And that was like 2 weeks ago. I come back. And then for like 3 days, I'm waiting to pass this thing, you know? And I'm freaking horrified. You know, I'm drinking a lot of water and stuff. And I ended up, passing it, pissing out. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. The pain was a lot worse when it leaves from the kidneys to the whatever it is, the bladder or whatever it is, when it's on the way. And then the hospital sent me a thing in New York City and said that I got two more in my kidney. And the last couple of days, I've been having sharp pain. So I'm just making excuses while I'm in the gym.
Pass. It'll pass.
Is that good enough? Speedbag?
It's good enough.
Is that a good enough pass. Excuse?
Yeah.
All right, Speedbag, back to you.
Oh, man.
How'd you meet Bundy?
I met Bundy when...
Did he strong-arm you for your canteen?
I never had it. No, I'm kidding. Never had him. Bundy, I met... Well, that case, so 09, I was exaggerating because I caught the case in 09. I didn't get... Is this on?
Yeah, it's on. All right.
I got sentenced in end of 2011, I think. So what happened was I was the guy that you talked about on the other podcast, Gene Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Well, he was behind the wall, and Bundy was on C-Pod, so they had to keep him apart. And that guy was so weird, man. He was a big guy, but he had like a squeaky little voice like this. And then one time, you know how the behind the wall, the shower, if anyone's ever been in Bill Ricker, they know the old jail, they call it behind the wall. It's a big shower room. And one day he's in there, it's just him, and like usually you shower in your boxes. He was just getting bare ass naked in there, just having a blast. And he goes, "Speedbag, can you pass me that squeegee?" And I was shocked that this guy talked. I'd never heard him talk. I was on the tier with him for like a year. He goes, and I'm like, wow, he knows my name. Like some like a weirdo. I just never heard, but like his voice anyway. So Bundy was on C-Pod, I was behind the wall, and And I was young. Bundy didn't care for me when he first met me.
Really?
No, he liked me. He didn't like me. But he liked me, but like I remember this. This is how we met. They close the tiers and they send me first because I end up coming from the hole. And I'm sitting there. I remember these are the first words Bundy ever said to me. I sat down. They go, "Hey, you ever meet Speedbag?" He goes, "Yeah." And he looks at me and he goes, "Wow, that's the weirdest fucking look I've ever seen on someone's face." I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, so this guy probably don't like me. But it was just funny because, like, Bundy's always been the same, man. This is in 2011. We're in 2024. He's never changed.
Right.
He's been consistent, which he's been a good dude from when I met him. But, like, we know, like, as I would come in and out of jail, Bundy would be there sometimes. Sometimes he wouldn't. But we got closer as the years gone on. Like, my last bid, me and him, we kicked it every friggin' day, man. Every day. Just like, you know, I'm not one of the people when I'm in jail, I'm not going, "Oh, I can't do this." Like, dude, I did the crime. Fucking, I'm here. You know what I mean? That's how I look at doing time. Let's make the best of it. You know what I mean? That comes with a box trip. That comes with a little bit of this, you know? And, you know, Bundy's always been with me in the hole, out of the hole. And so we built a good bond, you know? And, I mean, that's just how it is. Like, when you come in, I was young, and I used to go like this. I'd poke. Bundy hit me with one of these. He hits me with the pressure points. He'd go like this, bang. I'd be like, like, I don't want to show that it hurts. I'm like, "How was that?" I go, "It fucking hurt." He goes, "I know it did." No, man, Bundy's always been my friend, man. You know, we've been through thick and thin in there, and that place, times can go like smooth for a year, and then next thing you know, a few months later, things are getting crazy. And you know, no matter what it was, he's always been right next to me. So and just getting out, like, I'm gonna be honest, I'm on the podcast, so it's like I never would go on camera ever because I never thought I would stop doing crime. So Bundy got me a job. I'm working, you know, I'm doing good. I got the 25th of this month will be 90 days off everything except booze. Booze, good. I'm getting there too, but be 90 days. You know what I mean? 90 days.
Let's go.
You know, good. Fuck, I feel great, man. I feel like a million bucks. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I've had a rough pass, that whole shit, whatever, though. I got no fucking rape or murder on my record, so I can go to the top. I'm going to go to the top. I can still make it. I look at it like this. Like, say you live to 70, I'm 34. I still got plenty of time. I'm not even at halftime.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're good.
Let's hope not.
You're good.
Right? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I got sober at 43, so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Plenty of time.
Bundy, Bundy's, I was just on the way here, we were talking about it. Like, so Bundy had a had an incident today, actually. So
yes, it was.
Yeah. He was, and he was starting to take it out on people around him. I said, Bundy, calm down. He's snapping at people. So Bundy, we were just on, before I get into what happened to him today, I was just saying how he got out almost 18 months ago. Well, November was a year. Yeah. So whatever it was, 16 months, whatever. And that's a miracle because he's been in, you know, constantly, you know, locked up most of his life. And he's doing really good. Good things are happening. Good things are starting to happen in his life. And it's pretty simple. It took me forever to figure it out, right? You do good things happen.
Yep.
You're out there, you know, robbing, stealing, you know, getting high, bad things happen. You know, you hang around with people that are doing the right thing and doing good and being successful, it rubs off.
It
rubs off, you know what I mean? And Bundy just yesterday bought a scratch ticket. Was it, did he buy it this morning or last night?
Yesterday.
So why'd you hit
yesterday?
So yep. Bundy buys a scratch ticket. We went out and bought a couple. I hit a $1,000 scratch. I never win. Like two, three nights, sometimes four nights, I'll stop at the store, buy two $20 tickets. So finally, I hit one the other night, $1,000. So he goes out last night.
No, it was during the day.
Oh, yesterday during the day. So I was with you last night buying tickets. You didn't tell me?
No, I didn't say nothing. Because it was ripped, and I wasn't sure. So.
All right. So Bundy buys a scratch ticket. $1,000 winner. He hands it to the guy in the store. I don't know why he handed it to the guy, but what are you going to do? Maybe to check it, to make sure. Maybe he couldn't believe his eyes because he's never really won much on the scratches since he's got out. You know, just a few bucks, 20 bucks, 50 bucks, maybe 100. Just, you know, keep trying to keep his head above water. And he hits a $1,000 winner. He hands it to the guy. The guy immediately rips it in half and chucks it in the chucks it in a barrel.
He scanned it for us.
Yeah.
So he got the piece of paper to scan. But it's right when he scanned it, it said $1,000 on it. So I don't know why he ripped it. After he ripped it, I said, why the fuck did you rip that? That was a winner. Why'd you rip it? He goes, he just looked at me blank. I said, that's a fucking $1,000 right there. You going to give me the $1,000? And he goes, oh, hold on. And he taped it for me.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. So it should be good. He goes, yeah, it's fine. He stapled the winning thing on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
So what happened when you went to the Mass State Lottery?
So went to Lawrence, the Mass Lottery, and the lady's looking at it. And she goes, all right. I filled out the paperwork. And she looks at it, and it's taped. She goes, oh, this was ripped in half. I said, yeah, but it's all the numbers are there. She goes, nah, we don't take this. So now the wheels are turning, and I'm taking this motherfucker.
Tried to get you.
Yeah, he tried to get me. And so she goes, look, and I read it. It says, can't have no tape, can't be ripped, can't have staples in it. So it's ripped.
He knew
it
that.
Has tape, and it has a staple with the fucking other thing on it.
He had the trifecta.
Yeah, it's like, motherfucker.
He had the trifecta on you.
Yep. And so I had to fill out all this other stuff. They said, we'll send it to the main lottery place. You'll get a check in about a month, month and a half. I was like, really?
That wasn't cutting it with you.
No. So we went back to where I bought it, and
I went with him today.
Yeah,
I said, Bundy, you know I'm going to be filming most of this, so just that's what that video is. Yeah. The guy wasn't a fan of mine, but I think
he
warmed
like,
up.
Tell your friend to go outside. And he goes, we'll make good. I'll make good on it. I'm going to call my buddy at the lottery, and hopefully he just bypasses all the stuff, so you don't have to wait a month. He's like, hopefully tomorrow. I said, all right, we'll see.
Yeah.
Then he admitted, he goes, I fucked up. I shouldn't have ripped it. I apologize. I said, all right, it's fine. I accept your apology, but are you going to rectify? Are you going to give me some money?
Yeah.
You owe me $1,000 now. Or do I have to wait 2 months for a fucking payment?
I know one thing. It's probably, you'll probably never pay for a honey bun there again in your life.
I wish they had the cheesecakes.
I was ready to just start dropping bags of chips and stepping on them. Just being a real asshole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't know. You know, I mean, the guy, at first when you were telling me, I was thinking the guy maybe tried to pull a fast one, right? Like it was a loser and throw it away and try to. But after seeing the guy, I think he just thought it was a loser and ripped it up. You know, I mean,
he said right when I scanned it, because it said 1,000 on the screen.
Yeah,
and he said, but it happened so fast. Like I scanned it and ripped it, and I didn't even look at it. He goes, I'm just so used to ripping all the.
Yeah,
and I said, well, whatever, is what it is.
I know he's going to check him from now on. Like the first thing I said to Bundy was, because Bundy told me, I didn't even know, I've never won shit. I've won $500, $100. I've never won a lot of money. When I hit the 1,000, you even told me, you said, they won't cash out of the store. You got to go to the lottery. I'm like, what? I didn't even fucking know that. So you told me that. Right. So the first thing I thought was, why'd you hand it to him?
I know. Like, he kept saying it today. That, oh,
I know.
You got me going. He's like, why would you? What are you, a fucking idiot? you motherfucker.
you fucking stupid bastard. Yeah. What the fuck are you giving it to him for? Yeah. I said, I know one thing.
Never do it again.
You'll never fucking handle a ticket to anybody again.
No.
If you hand one to me, I'm just going to rip it in half just for GB. you know? So that was, that was a tough one. So he still got $1,000. And I keep telling him, I said, Bunny, it's money in the bank. He's like, but fucking I want it in my hand, you know? Yeah. It's not like he's rolling in the dough right now.
No.
But it's $1,000 in the bank. Right, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's a good thing. Now I got to go hit a winner tonight.
Yeah.
You got any money to buy any?
Yep.
Fuck. I was going to buy one.
Me, you and Speed, man.
You got to get a couple of $20 winners. What else we got going on? A lot of stuff on the news lately. The immigrant situation, it's crazy. It's fucking bananas going on right now.
Yeah,
I know. More and more are coming into Boston and Lowell, and they just opened up two more shelters in Lowell.
Did they really?
Up by the Elliott Church there by the...
really?
Yeah, right there, that house right next to it. A couple of them, man. There's fucking... It's getting crazy. And so Trump and Biden both won their... what do you call it? Delegate. What is it? Primaries. They both won their primaries, so it's gonna be.
I think Trump's gonna win.
So many people hate Trump. I don't know.
Trump's winning
if he's alive.
I don't know.
He's gonna be fine.
So many people hate Trump.
I love him.
Yeah, Trump's number one.
Yeah. How do you? I mean, here's the thing with me. My whole life, I never voted. My life, I never paid attention to anything. But I used to say, well, I guess I'm a Democrat because Republicans were always the ones that were super tough on crime, minimum mandatory sentences for drug trafficking and all that. And so I used to say, well, I'm definitely not on these guys' side. These guys want to lock everybody up and everything. So, you know, just that's how I thought of it. But I never voted or get into it this much. But watching everything, how everything's going, it's like, I mean, me personally – I don't really care about anything except when I'm going. I own a roofing company, Broadway Home Improvement. Anyone out there needs a roof, vinyl siding, decks, windows, give me a call. We'll show up with Paulie Black and Bundy and my crew, and we'll bang it out. But when I see the price of shingles, you know, I still have it. It was like $25, $24 a bundle or whatever it was back then, you know. Yeah, like 26, and you know, you could buy bulk if you bought so many. If you bought 12 squares, 36 bundles, you get them even cheaper. And now, a price of a bundle of shingles is like $40, $45. I mean, it was 26, and that's just something off the top of my head. Never mind gas and nails and metal and ice and water shield and paper and all the stuff you use to put on a roof. Everything is so expensive. And I know they say pass the price off onto the customer, but sometimes it's tough. You know, I always come in around, you know, $500 a square. Sometimes I like to come in cheaper because I know people are getting a lot of different bids. But it's just made it so difficult to dump the stuff, to dump the trash is so expensive. Just everything, you know. And that's when I stopped paying attention, you know. Right. I remember the first time something happened. I went in the supermarket and I took this this friend of mine food shopping. And I had like $400 and I don't know. I think I might have still been on – I still might have had a gangster card then, which is a food stamp card. This is like 3 years – 2 years ago, whatever it was. I got off everything. But I had something, whatever it was, whether it was a gift card. It was like 300 bucks. So I'm with this person. We're shopping. I'm like, oh, if we fill up the carriage, it's up like this. We get up. I mean, I got a $300 card, right? They're like, $480. I almost had a fucking heart attack, right? I'm like, yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? Like $500?
It adds up, you know?
And that's what I'm saying now. This is what has me paying attention, you know? Things are a lot cheaper before this guy was in office. And everyone, well, it ain't him. You know, the people, you're never going to change someone's mind who's a Democrat and who's voting for him. But this is my, what, you think Trump's going to make gas? I don't know, man. I don't know how all this works, right? But to me, it's like the fucking Yankees, right? The New York Yankees, George Steinbrenner. And I'm a Red Sox guy and everything, but they were always the dominant team, right? And when they were losing, the fucking head coach would get fired. Bye, man. Right. See you later.
Bye.
Billy Martin, see you later. See gone. You know what I mean? And then, you know, bring them back and they win. So that's my thing. When we're winning and everything's great, hey, man, if it was Biden right now and everything was cheap and everything was going fine.
But it's not.
No. I wouldn't care. No. But it's not, man. Yep. No. Things are fucking, everything is super expensive, you know? And the migrant thing is bananas. And hey, I don't hate the migrants, man.
No.
I'm cheering for them. I see them coming across the river. Hey, escape fucking. Look at what's going on in Haiti right now, right? Look at what's going on in Venezuela. We couldn't imagine what these people have to endure on a daily basis where they live. So go for it, man. Go through that jungle. Come across the river. I'm fucking rooting for you. And that might sound crazy. People might, you know, say, oh, what are you saying? No, it's true. Like, you have no idea how these people live. I would be doing the same thing. And anybody I loved, I'd be encouraging them to get to America. Because you know what? They're going to give you, you know, whatever they give you. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I guess in New York, they're giving out prepaid debit cards now. But why wouldn't you come? Why wouldn't you want to come? I don't blame them. You know, I don't blame them one bit, but I don't know how we sustain it. Taxpayers end up footing the bill. And I'm almost like a citizen now. You know, I'm a taxpayer. So now I'm paying attention. I still have never registered to vote, so I can't talk too much. But maybe I will this time, you know. But that's fucking crazy what's going on right now. And
it's Venezuela. A month's pay is like $5.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. How do you survive?
Living off $5.
Huh.
Well.
And Haiti. See what's going on in Haiti right now? Have you seen that, Justin?
The guy.
I didn't even see that, really?
Yeah, his name's Barbecue.
Really? What? See, I didn't even see this. What?
He's like, he's pretty much, he would be like the Trump. He would be like the Rambo, Black Rambo Trump with no money. Except illegal money like that. And he's going against like the country. He's trying to overturn the government.
Wait, yeah, but cannibal. Where's the cannibal nickname come from?
Because their thing, like he believes in, like before they go into battle, before they go on missions, he believes, they really truly believe if you eat a young kid's heart, that you get youth from that.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And they fight naked. They get things. Really? It's crazy. I'm thinking about joining myself.
Yeah. I could never fight naked. You know?
Yeah.
It's a fucking inch of dynamite would be in defense mode.
Right in his head.
Imagine fucking having to fight naked. I would just cower
Speedback
up.
Would like
I
it.
Would cower up into a fucking ball in the fucking armadillo defense. You would never. I remember Mucka Glosson. I seen the cops give him a beating naked on 10 block, and they dragged him up and down the tier naked, right? And that's where I got that line afterwards on Joe Bradshaw, Teddy Sutherland and Joe Bradshaw, two real good guys, real, real good guys, stick up guys. They've done some big, big, big scores. Yep. And I was in 10 block with Joe Brad, and Mucka finally come back, and and he goes, hey, Mucka, that inch of dynamite was fucking on full display when they were dragging you up and down the tier. And I remember he yelled out, that baby was in defense mode. that's where I got to. But, yeah, fighting naked.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's that's a tough tough assignment, huh? I mean, for me, just watching MMA, right? Just fighting barefoot, I think I'd guy would just, all you have to do is step on my fucking foot and I fucking,
the fight would be over.
I step on a fucking pebble and I fucking go right down to the ground. I don't know. Some of these fucking people, they're out there kicking fucking trees and stuff, you know?
I know.
Like fucking Bam Bam. But yeah, getting back to that, this election, I mean, all this stuff going on in the outside world. Now you got Putin today who's talking about using nukes.
I know.
Did you see that?
Yep.
See that, Justin? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's talking about fucking dropping a nuke.
Yeah. You Ukraine's starting to bomb Russia. And they're bombing a lot of places in Russia.
What Biden wants to do is send Ukraine all this money.
Yeah.
Well, that was like, he thought
them,
that people.
Sending them all the little planes. The, what are they?
Forget this. Single legend. Bombs. Yeah.
But yeah, none of this shit was going on before.
No one fucked with us. Trump would be like, okay, go ahead, try.
None of this shit was going on, man. None of this shit was going on.
It's true.
Yeah, we sent all the drones over there.
Oh, the drones.
Yeah, the drones. There are thousands of them at once. And Ukraine's bringing them right to Russia, blowing up everything.
Maybe that's who sent the drone that was watching you.
I know.
Did we tell you about that, Justin?
That was a nice one, though.
Somebody was flying a drone over the Sober House with a camera on it. And the fucking thing hit like a tree branch or something and fell right in our yard, and we snatched it and brought it in the house.
It was a nice one, too.
Yeah, it's a nice
one. Camera, everything on it. Yeah. It was a heavy-duty one.
And you know what's weird is nobody came for it.
No.
You know who? No.
They were spying.
Yeah.
They were spying on
If it was the cops, they would have came, right?
Yeah,
they would have knocked on the door and they would have covered it.
I would think.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
so somebody was fucking
had us under surveillance. You see when it was lit up? All the lights. Going off at once. Yeah, it was nice. Thank you. Whoever was looking.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. Back to roofing. Things have been slow for the last few months with the winter and stuff, but things are finally starting to pick up. Get some jobs, make some money out there, which I need to because the winter sucked. I didn't make any money plowing. Got a couple trucks. There was only one storm, and I didn't even get called in for it. That was fucking terrible. Yeah, so I need to do some roofs. Broadway Home Improvement. I need to hit some scratch tickets. Bundy.
Don't give them to the guy either.
Don't give
them to the guy. Bring them straight to the lottery.
You were getting so mad when I kept saying, why'd you hand it to
him? I know.
So Bundy.
Hey, Spiro's over there laughing.
Bundy's talking on the phone to me, and he's in the sober house, and all of a sudden he's like, what are you fucking looking at? The TV's over there. He's snapping at people in the house. I like, Bundy, take it easy. You can't take it out on everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Celtics, Boston Celtics tonight. What do we got for a score? Suns, right? They're playing the Suns. What do we got, Justin?
Let's see.
KD almost single-handedly won it last time.
They're up by 5 at halftime.
Celta?
Yeah.
All right, good. They started out real slow. Big Al had a couple three-pointers to start out the game. The Celtics, again, we can't be the Buffalo Bills in the NBA. All right, we can't be dominating. I think of the Bruins last year. I don't want to jinx us, right? But I mean, if we can't fucking win it this year, like, what the fuck?
How long has it been?
2011. When's the last time they won? 2009. When was it, Justin? When's the last time Celtics won?
It was 08.
Was it 08?
It was 08.
Yeah. Oh, so it was a while ago.
All right. Yeah, I was in jail for the 09. But 08, I actually went down. I was broke then, getting high. But I still went down to the Garden for the game where they won it all, and I didn't actually go in the Garden. I was in the penalty box, a bar, an old. It's gone now. The penalty box was an old bar, been there forever, across from the Garden, and we were watching it on TV, drinking, and when there was like 2-3 minutes left in the game, State police, Boston police with riot shields just walked up to the bar and they just put riot shields over the door and didn't let us out. So we're looking at the TV, watching everybody run around on Causeway Street, just bedlam, and they just held us hostage in that bar for like an hour. It was the worst thing ever. Yeah, you know. But
at least you were in a bar.
Yeah, at least I was right there, man. I think that's – I don't know if that was the year the girl got shot with the –
The beanbag?
Yeah, pepper spray, a beamer. She got killed, right?
Yeah, she died.
I'm not sure.
The guy was on a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, you remember that, Justin?
The
the parade, right?
No, yeah. I think it was.
It was a protest.
No. I think it was the night they won. I think it was that night
yeah,
I was there.
It was the Red Sox parade, though. No, was it? The night they won.
Celtics, yeah. Right? Yeah.
No, the Red Sox.
Oh, was it the Red Sox?
Yeah.
See, I was a little under the influence then. You know what I mean? Sure. But let's just make it that I was there and it was the night of the Celtics when they won. You know what I mean? No, but yeah, I remember that fucking crazy shit happening. Speaking of that, people getting killed down by the garden. What's up with these fucking bodies that keep turning up, man?
Really?
Well, there was one like 2 months ago where like some guy will be with his friends and then they find his cell phone on the ground outside the bar. And then he ends up in the water. Like it's happened how many times? Five times? Four or five times?
Over the course of like 15 years.
Yeah. It's such a fucking strange thing, right? And the police say, no, no big deal. But it's like...
Serial killer.
It's got to be, man. Yeah. Because it's like...
a survivor in here.
What?
Kid survived an attack last March or something at the Celtics game.
Really?
Did an interview on one of our podcasts.
No fucking way.
Yeah. He went to go take a piss. Next thing he knew, he woke up and someone was dragging him out of the water. He got rushed to the hospital.
Really? No way.
Yeah. Yeah, his face was all fucked up. He got somebody fucking...
Wow. Oh, shit, huh?
Whose podcast? We got to give them a shout out.
It was Bad Brain.
Oh, man. Fuck them guys. Gaetano and them. Forget it, man. Can we edit? No, those are my guys, man. Those are good fucking guys. Another kid got a podcast around. I see it popping up on Instagram. He's... doing mostly ex-jail guys. He just had, I think his name's B. Luke. He's messing me on Instagram a few times.
Good guy.
Yeah, seems
Bobby
cool.
Luke, because he had that boy on, Keithy Richardson.
Oh, yeah. Keithy was on there?
Yeah, that was like the first, that was probably the first, what's it called, he did.
Someone messaged me about him. He might have messaged me. I think we talked on Instagram, but recently
my
he had.
My boy, love you, Keithy.
Recently he had, Keith's a good kid. Recently he had Justin Holmes on. Good friend of mine I knew from Walpole, and he did a life bid and get out, and he's another one who just turned his life around, man. He's been out probably at least 10 years now. He's got a good job, doing real good in the union, and he's real quiet. I was surprised he was on there because I didn't know he'd want to talk about it or anything, because he just does his own thing. He's a guy you'd meet. It's almost like me with the sober homes. Guys come in the sober home, they're like, you did drugs? Like when I pick someone off getting high, I'm like, you have no idea. But when you meet someone and you don't know them, like you'd never guess that he did a life bid, basically did about 18, 20 years. And Justin, I remember when he got out of DDU, he was so skinny. They used to starve you then. DDU was the departmental disciplinary unit. They had 9-block and 10-block, but sometimes they had like a kangaroo court where they could sentence you to up to 5 years, 10 years in the hole, which was DDU. And he got 5 years in DDU, three or five. I think it was five. For him and Mikey Skinner, had a cop smuggling in steroids in Norfolk, and they gave him 5 years in the hole. And he got out of the hole, and he was about... he was no more than 130 pounds. I mean, you could see his fucking ribs, you know? And I remember when I brought him a big fucking sack of Canteen. You know what I mean? He just got out of the hole in the Max.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Peanut butter and fluff, honey bun, Snickers bars, coffee. He's like, I'll pay you back for it. I'm like, come on, dude. No. You know what I mean? No. You don't fucking pay me back nothing. But I heard he was just on B. Luke's podcast. And I got it. You know, I don't watch podcasts. I don't watch these. I do these. And Bunny's like, did you watch it? And I don't. I don't know why. I'm fucking crazy. I don't watch anyone's podcast. I got to watch a Joe Rogan podcast. I see clips from podcasts like that Sean fucking Hicks thing with James English there. That guy James English like messaged me a little bit. He's sober too, and we talked, and then I said, you know, Sean Hicks is a fraud, and bang, that was it. Yeah, he didn't answer me. So I think there's some stuff going on now with that. I think there might be a cease and desist letter. Some guys that he talked about saying he was associated with are getting together, and hopefully they get to the publisher and try to stop that. You know, all these guys, Miles, all these guys, you never heard of this fucking guy, and he's using all their names, you know, Patney and all these guys. So hopefully something happens with that, and we'll touch on that later. We haven't talked about him in a few weeks, but we were really hammering him. But now it's we gotta see what happens. Hopefully he's he gets exposed and that gets shut down, you know.
Yeah.
What else we got going on? Gotta hit the parade Sunday. Gotta hit Peter Welch's Saturday. And 11 years for me, Sunday, like, you know, my friend Brian Goodman said to me, you know, a lot of reflection on that day. You know, you reflect, right? On that day, you think back, wow, the day, you know, everything leading up to when I went away and going to that rehab in Florida and coming off the methadone. And I quit cigarettes in there too. Like, you name it, I come off the benzos, the alcohol, everything. And, you know, it's a big day. I mean, I'm going to be caught up getting up, you know, my daughter and her cousin and everything and going to the parade and everything. But, you know, I'll be looking back and, you know, just everything that happened where, hey, you know, I could have killed myself on that day, right? And look where I am now. And, you know, yeah. Like, you know, you don't know what you're capable of till you put your mind to it. When you're wasting time on drugs and alcohol and going to jail, you know, you just, you know, you're young, you think you're going to live forever. And now, you know, like they say, you get older, right? Time fucking flies. Like, wow, 11 years, I'm sober. Wow, I'm going to be 54 in May. Like, I'm like, what the fuck, in 10 years, I'm going to be 65, 64? Like, yeah. My life's almost over. I got to fucking book a flight tomorrow. I got to live, motherfucker.
You still got plenty of time.
No, I know, but it's just, you know, what I'm saying.
Seems that way, yeah.
What I'm saying is time fucking flies, man. And, you know, you only live once. You got to enjoy it, man. And wasting time, you know, when you get older, you realize how precious it is. Right. You know, you're young, you don't think, right? But you start getting older, man, you start thinking how precious fucking time is. And, you know, time with your kids and your loved ones and your friends, you know?
Yeah.
And everything like that, man, you start realizing. And I'm lucky I got it at age 43. You know, if I didn't get it then, I probably never would have, you know? And so, yeah, Sunday's a big day, man. I can't wait. You know, and I love going down to the parade. Love going down to South Boston. I know it's a fucking madhouse and everybody's fucking going wild. But it's the biggest St. Patrick's Day celebration in the country. You know, in the world, I'm sure, you know. I don't know. But definitely in the country, you know. South Boston does it like no other. And going to be slipping the parade. Maybe my National Guard guys. Maybe you were in the Army, right?
Salvation Army.
Yeah, me too. I was in the Sally. We call it the Sally. Yeah, I might be jumping on the Army.
As a lieutenant.
Yeah, I might be jumping on their float. Someone. We're going to stop at the Point Clothing Lounge. Marky Goodman's, well, not Marky's place, Brendan's place, but his best friend, they're always there. Anyone needs to go in there and use the bathroom and charge their phone and grab a slice. Those guys are fucking just, you know, they're good like that. You know what I mean? He's going to put up like a charging port, like in the fucking airport. So I'm going to be outside the Point Clothing Lounge. I'll be down by D and Broadway at the beginning. I'll be all around, man. I'll be all around trying to have a good time. I'll go over Pat Nee's house afterwards every year after the parade. Pat invites me over. He has a few guys over and he makes some old Irish beef stew and we have a good time. The last few years it's been real cold and rainy, and this year it's gonna be like 55 degrees. So thank God, you know, it's gonna be a nice day. And that's about it. I want to thank Speedbag.
You know,
for Mike, coming on, man.
Thank you for bringing me to the house, man, and giving me a chance.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bundy. No problem. Know, I love you, man.
My man,
Bundy.
Yep.
Lucky Bundy. $1,000 scratch off.
Like a gentleman.
Justin, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Justin. Good
that's
to meet you,
19 in the books.
19's gone.
Boom. Let's go.
Like a bunch of narcotics.
There were.
Pull up in a new Ferrari. Living life, just got it.
Come on.
Chopping bricks like karate.